Welcome to the Optimal Body Podcast. I'm Doc Jen.
And I'm Dr. Dom, and we are doctors of physical therapy, bringing you the body tips and PT pearls to help you begin to understand your body, relieve your pains and restrictions, and answer your questions.
Along with expert guests, our goal of the Optimal Body Podcast is to help you discover what optimal means within your own body. Let's dive in.
So, of course, many of you have heard of us talk about the Vivo Barefoot shoes before, and being an episode about the feet, they're going to come up again. And just our talk about how it helps your feet learn how to support themselves and interact with the ground and move with the world around you. So this month, actually, Vivo is highlighting a shoe called the Primus Knit Wool that they're collaborating on with a company called Woolmark. And why this is important is because Woolmark sources just about the highest quality wool in the world to help make these shoes. And this wool helps with the smell, it helps with the fit, and it helps with the moisture in the shoe. So check that out, or check out any of the other Vivos during this episode if you want. And you can get 15% off of that order. And also, Vivo just always has a 100-day trial that you can send those shoes back if you're not completely pleased. So it allows you to try them out for a little while and see how your feet respond. So during this episode, check those things out.
We've had a code change, so make sure you use code TOB so that you get 15% off. That is TOB, like the Optimal Body Podcast. Welcome back, guys. So honored to have you here again. Today, we're talking about bunions. Now, what are bunions? What does it mean? And why do we get them? What can we start doing about it? We want to talk about all of the things and hopefully help educate you and put you on a better trajectory in terms of your health.
Yeah, and it's going to be fun to talk about bunions because looking at the research and looking at how often it happens, a lot of people deal with this. And there's so many solutions or potential solutions that get thrown out at us just out in the open world, whether we're seeing somebody or whether we see something online as to how we can fix this thing. Mm-hmm. So why don't we dive in first to what a bunion is, and then we can cut through some of that.
Yeah, I think that's great. So the bunion, really, I mean, we know that 2% of children can have, we see that they have bunions. So yes, you structurally can be born with having this look of bunions, which is just the where the toe, your big toe starts to come inward towards your other toes. And what you get is, I mean, I don't know how medical I want to go here.
So the big toe is called the hallux, right? And that's like the bone there. So a lot of times bunions will be called hallux valgus.
Exactly.
And that just means big toe going in, right?
Yes. And what it does is it forms kind of right at the ball of your foot. You start to notice that, I mean, we do have bursa sacs, or like fluid sacs within our body. And what happens as your toe starts to go inward, those ligaments can kind of start to rub right on those bursa sacs, right along the ball of the foot. And so you can get some pain, irritation, and almost like growth start to happen right at that foot. But we also have to look at not only the big toe, but what the big toe is connected to, what are called our metatarsals. And that's where we get shifting of those bones where the big toe connects into as well. And then we can get, you know, your metatarsal from your big toe coming out while the while the big toe is coming in. And so that's where you kind of get that V shape right at that bunion.
And I think where we've kind of approached this, you know, in the past has been, it's a big toe thing, right? Yeah. Oh, it's just the big toe that we're looking at. And how do we get that big toe to come back out? But again, that's where in this world of medicine, we like to hone in on one thing and fix it rather than looking at all the components that could be impacting that big toe. And we looked at this one study that kind of talked through how they are reapproaching how they look at bunions based on the leg and the foot, because there are so many different planes those things work in. Like if our leg is rotated inward, or our tibia, our lower leg is rotated inward, that's going to affect what happens at the foot, which then is going to affect what our big toes do. Mm-hmm. Our foot also rotates in this plane and also through the ankle.
What plane?
Yeah, true. You guys aren't watching. So the foot also rotates. If you look at the midfoot, we have these tarsal bones, right? They're kind of like the bones in our wrist, but they rotate say if your foot's kind of flat on the ground and you try and roll to the outside of the foot and roll to the inside of the foot, that's kind of pronation and supination, which we've talked about a little bit before.
So that rotation around that foot.
So if we're not looking at how the midfoot is rotating, then we might be neglecting how that impacts the toe down the chain.
Exactly.
Right. And then even to the big metatarsal, the first metatarsal that Jen was talking about, that thing, it can go out, like she was saying, or it can go just inward towards your other foot. I guess out was a bad word, but inward towards your other foot to contribute to that bump. But also when it does that, it rotates a little bit because our joints have coupled movement. So when it goes out, the way that the joint is structured causes it to rotate a little bit too, which is something we've really been neglecting when we do even higher level medical things to correct or fix these bunions. So again, it sounds a little bit confusing, but this study, I really appreciated how they're like, hey, we need to break this down all the way below the knee to even define what's happening with the individual person.
Exactly. And, you know, obviously, I would argue all the way up the chain.
Totally.
How the body works together. Like, why are we only looking at rotation in one place, right? Or movement side to side of the toe or the foot? Like, we have to say, well, why could that be happening? And I think that's what happens a lot, is that we look at just that one thing. Like, this is what the bunion looks like. If I get this shaved off, if I get my toe back in alignment, then it all will be okay. But just what was the problem in the first place? Or what was the cause that started to shift that toe? And I remember even being in a physical therapy clinic, and we went to listen to what a lot of the MDs had to say about bunions. We just were quiet observers in the back, which was really hard for me. So I'm like, I want to comment on some things. But they were just talking about the surgery and like, okay, if we have this surgery, look how beautiful it was. Like, I got the toe back into perfect alignment and the structure and everything. But then they had to come back. Like, so why is this happening again? Why does the client have to come back if we fixed it so perfectly? And it's because we're looking at the structure to fix perfectly rather than the actual cause that we can start to do about it before. Or I don't even know if they didn't even talk about PT once in that meeting. So I have no idea if after surgery they even went to PT. But yeah, that was a little hard to just sit there.
And I think right there you kind of hit a main point, is that okay, the foot can look like what it's going to look like, and the toe can have that bunion. If you're not having symptoms, then that's a lot different than if you're having really severe pain in that area that's preventing you from walking longer distances or anything. So again, how the structure looks versus what your symptoms are. And Jen and I are a lot more of the mind as of looking at what the symptoms are and then looking at the whole body up and down the chain and trying to piece together what may be contributing to that.
Yes, exactly. So let's talk about it. So ultimately, you know, the research and everything that we looked at, we don't have like one set point of what is the cause. Like, they cannot determine this is the cause of why you have a bunion. So that's off the table. So we get to look at every person individually. We did look at prevalence, though, and how often that this happens. And again, I said 2% of children, it looks like they have it. So you could be born with it. 20, but they
that
were,
was 9 to 10.
It was 9 to 10.
Nine
so
to 10
I will
old.
Say, were they born with it?
Yeah. And what happened in those first 9 to 10
years
that might cause the foot to want to develop in that way?
Exactly. So, I mean, there's a lot of, we don't know, right? But we do know 18 to 65, the percent of people who have bunions is 23%. So first of all, I want you to hear this and not feel alone.
Yeah.
You're not the only person who feels like, oh, I don't have feet like they show in the magazines or the movies or what it should look like. Like, you're not alone. And this is a common occurrence, especially after 65, that rate goes up to 36%.
Yeah.
And I think it was 30%, it's prevalent 30% in women. And that's a that's a big number.
Totally. And along with that comes some different like risk factors, or just, you know, women might have it slightly more than men. If you're somebody who, or it's found that in people with bunions, they will generally wear high-heeled or closed-toed shoes more often. So there are some of these things that it's like, retroactively, or we can look back at somebody who has bunions and has symptoms, and they'll do these things more often. But that's not saying that somebody who does these things is going to develop bunions. So again, we don't know the exact etiology.
Especially because I think we can look at men's dress shoes as well and see that they're pretty pointed as well. So it's like, we can't just say heels, but why might heels be more of a occurrence than just dress shoes? Well, think about the height of the heels, what we're walking on, how often you wear, you know,
that's it's doing just, to our foot.
Exactly. It's it plays a whole chain, a whole thing up the chain, which is exactly what we're talking about. It's not just about the toes. It's the function of the overall foot all the way leading up to how it's connected to the leg.
Yeah. So then, you know, we want to talk about treatment and kind of what people have been doing and have been studying, because we look into a little bit of the research. And again, kind of through the whole thing, it's, you know, we don't exactly know, because there are some times that it'll say, oh, orthoses showed, you know, more of a difference than no treatment at all. And then the very next study said orthoses did not show much of a difference than no treatment at all.
Yeah.
And then same with surgeries. One study said a surgery, what was the kind of surgery?
The chevron
surgery that they would do might have more benefit than doing orthoses or no treatment at all. So it's like, okay. And again, just looking through these studies, there's very little that compares these higher medical treatments to rehab or PT.
Yeah.
But even within that, you know, we're kind of talking, if you just look at a study that says, okay, this surgery is better than just seeing PT, that at face value tells you nothing. Because it tells you nothing that the PT did. If you look into the study, it might be like, oh, they just did joint mobilizations 3 times a week for 6 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, I can tell you why they didn't have as much of a difference or something. So again, cutting into the details and seeing the specificity or specific things that the PT or they're doing in rehab is very, very important.
Right. And ultimately, like, you know, generalized, we found a study from 2020. So this is like, okay, let's look at all the research and where we're at now.
Mm-hmm.
And this just basically said, if you are having pain right now, like, this isn't a podcast that's going to diagnose you or tell you exactly what to do. If you are having pain, go see someone. So that was the first line of treatment, conservative treatment. Conservative treatment means working with a physical therapist. Yep. If physical therapy doesn't seem to be working for you, my recommendation would be go see a different physical therapist.
Yeah.
However, the next recommendation was, okay, then you can try surgery. Following surgery, you must do rehabilitation. So again, going to see a physical therapist. Like, there's no just one root thing. And they were also, I don't think they really even talked about orthotics in it. And so, you know, a lot of physical therapists can prescribe orthotics as well, take a molding for your foot, and also, you know, work with a company to see what you need for your foot. So again, working with a physical therapist can still help to build that external support while you're building the internal support.
And that's where Jen and I, of course, are biased to physical therapists a little bit at times. But when we go through, because we're about to go through kind of our approach based on what we know, based on what we looked into, how we might, you know, help somebody approach this.
Yeah.
So if you're working with somebody and they're not a physical therapist, but they're doing a lot of these different things with you, that tells us they're being thorough. And that tells us that they're looking at you as a whole human and not just trying to sell you a specific treatment that's going to fix you.
Exactly. And so, I mean, ultimately, we, as physical therapists, it's what are they doing at physical therapy that can make the difference? And I will say, hopefully you are working with someone who's not only working on you manually, because that is a passive treatment. Anything that someone does to you is passive. So whether they're using your joint and they're doing some mobilizations, or whether they're doing mobilizations even at your foot, or doing ultrasound or massage to the bottom of your foot, or stretching your toe, whatever it is, they are doing it to you. So these are passive type treatments. Not bad, but if we want to get you functioning in the real world, we have to add a functional component to that, an active component to that. So we are here to hopefully help promote and push that if you're not getting at-home exercises, exercises in the clinic of what you need to be doing for your foot and ultimately your whole body, it's okay to say this physical therapist isn't working for me and I get to see someone else. Totally okay to do.
I've talked with so many people who have been seeing me and have continued seeing other physical therapists just because they don't want to leave before their plan of care is up, or because their doctor wrote them this thing and I just need to go to the physical therapist, even though they didn't feel like it was right for them.
Mm-hmm.
So again, taking that power that you get to choose what provider you're going to be working with, even if you have to search a little bit. And like Jen said, if the first one doesn't work, sometimes it takes us 3, 4, 5 times to find the right person who can give us a good plan for us.
Exactly. And so let's show some of those treatments that, not treatments, they're not treatments. These are just some tools that you can start using right now, whether you have bunions or you don't, whether you have pain or not. Ultimately, if you do have pain, please go see a physical therapist. If you're just scrolling YouTube or listening to the podcast in hope of we are going to be the fix, we're just going to provide some tools and education, but we are not the fix of anything. So hopefully, unless you are seeing us in person. So hopefully you're working with someone that is going to help you provide that treatment that you need for yourself.
Yeah. So one of the first things that, you know, we talked about finding that passive mobility.
Yes.
And this is something that's super easy, something that I've been doing a whole lot more since, you know, I met Jen a couple of years ago, and it's toe spacers. Whether you have a toe spacer or have bought a toe spacer or do your nails a lot so you have them laying around, or just take a sock. So if you have a sock and you just take it and weave it between all your toes, just tell me if I'm teaching this wrong, babe.
Yeah, it's something that I do all the time. I get so many DMs and messages of people who are showing me their feet, and I absolutely love it.
We got a weird thing about feet that's just part of our job. So there you go. You got those toes all spread out, those socks.
And you can use the sock, like don't think that you have to, it has to squeeze your toes. So I usually like pull the sock around the toe so that it's not like squeezing the heck out of my toes and they're not going funky places. Yeah. I try to keep them pretty much in a straight line with the sock, but you'll already start to feel some pressures. And now listen, I have a girlfriend who's like, listen, I tried your sock thing and I couldn't stand it for more than 2 minutes. It hurt my foot. And I will say, okay, there's some sensitivity from having the separation of your toes. And all we're doing when we do this, and the reason that we talk about it is because we have these deep muscles in our feet called our intrinsic foot muscles. And we are kind of standing on them, walking on them, using them all the time without giving them a break unless we're trying to get like a deep tissue into our foot or something. Yep. And one of the best ways to think of stretching the feet is to literally separate the toes and have this separation. It passively stretches those intrinsic foot muscles, gives them a break, teaches the toes where they can go in a new direction and range of motion, so that ultimately when we get back to movement and active work for those toes, for the feet, and then for the whole body, they know where to go and they know how to activate. So getting this passive range before we get the active range is always key.
Yeah. And as somebody who doesn't have the prettiest feet and has been working on this a lot myself, if you start doing this consistently, even if it's only 2 to 3 minutes a day, your body will start to hear that. And your body will start to respond and say, okay, for some reason, they keep like pushing us out all this way every day. So why don't we just do that normally, right?
Exactly.
And that's what those muscles and those nerves start to read, is the environment they're placed in. Mm-hmm. So this is one way we can get passive mobility, maybe using a ball or something. We could get some more with the toes.
So one of the things I also like to do, and we'll show this on video as well for the YouTube, but it's using the therapy balls from Tune Up Fitness, because you get good kind of squish of that ball, especially on the foot, because you can put so much more force from your body weight. And I like one that's only specific to the big toe, so kind of getting that pressure and that tension into the big toe. And you can kind of roll all your toes on it. You can get the bottom of the foot. And again, a lacrosse ball is too pinpointed, especially for the bottom of the foot. And it can actually cause a little bit of pain. Like we're not breaking anything up. We're talking to the tissue and we're promoting more change from the brain to the tissue in order to help things to start to loosen up, fluids to start to move better. But we're not doing that by breaking up any tissue or tension. So that's why I don't like lacrosse balls. I don't really like golf balls for the bottom of the foot. I love therapy balls.
Yeah, we really got to approach it that the tool's not doing anything to us. We're working with the tool and our tissues are working with the tool. So if you're imagining that I'm smashing this thing into my arm because it's doing something to it, no matter how much I need a grit against it, then your brain's going to be fighting against that ball a little bit.
Yeah.
So if you wanted to check some of those out, head over to YouTube to see some of those things. But after we get that passive range, then actively activating. So again, if you want to take a look at some of these, we're going to be showing them more on YouTube. But one of the main things is once you take those socks out of your feet,
Immediately after,
we need to try and access that range. So trying to just spread your toes, right? Which at first might feel really weird when you start trying it, because we don't consciously think about spreading our toes like we can our fingers. But in reality, the musculature and the structures are fairly the same, so we can do all those movements. So giving good repetitions to that range that the socks may have helped you explore a little bit.
And you want to try to get separation from all the toes. And at first, you're going to be, if you've never done this before, you're going to be looking at your toes and you're going to be like, nothing is happening.
Yeah,
it is not registering. And that's okay. It takes time to really develop the skill and really doing it passively first. Even if you were to just take your fingers between your toes, it might be a little aggressive for people. I can do it pretty easily. I interlaced toes with Jill Miller, the owner of Tune Up Fitness,
because impressive.
We are super nerds like that, and post it on social media for everyone to get freaked out about. But you can take your fingers between the toes also and kind of like work that range of motion. It might feel a little uncomfortable, so definitely start with the socks. But this range just teaches the body, oh, I can spread. And then working on spreading those toes is such a good way to start to activate that intrinsic, those muscles on the inside of the foot.
And remember at the beginning, we talked about, okay, a lot of people look at this like a toe thing. And we've only said toe things so far. So now let's move into things maybe up the chain about foot, ankle. What's going on there?
Yeah. So we can break the foot into different sections, right? The toward the toes is the forefoot, the middle of the foot, midfoot.
Crazy.
And then we have the back of the foot.
Or the hind foot.
Yes. I actually forgot.
Let me guess, back foot? No, hind foot.
So a lot of times we think about this midfoot and we think about just strengthening exercises. How can I pull the toes and pull like a towel from the toes? How can I grip the ground and cause this arch to be more stable? And how can I do exercises that really promote that arch? Well, one, working on the toes does help promote the arch. Two, also, we cannot forget about the balance of pronation. And it's something that I've shown, we'll show one of the exercises that I really actually like to open up that midfoot. And whether you are flat-footed, high-arched, we all need to develop the functional capacity of obtaining pronation and supination. So pronation, think more flat foot. So pushing into that, don't be afraid of it. So we can stretch that midfoot, and then supination, think of a high arch, really contracting that foot. And again, if we can start to get both ranges of motion, we start to get into a better balance and activation in that foot naturally.
Right. And so someone, you know, I am more of the high arch person. And so a lot of the times I'm actually working when I'm in my controlled exercise environment at flattening into that pronation, which a lot of people say, oh, that's not good, but it is what's good and needed for my body.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, the exercise Jen is going to show is amazing to do that.
Yeah.
And then we work up a little more and we're in the ankle.
Mm-hmm.
And what the ankle does is it inverts and it everts, right? And kind of with pronation and supination, you know, when we supinate, we're going to be a little more inverted. When we pronate, we might be a little more everted at the
ankle. Can you explain
ankle.
Those a little bit
So what
more?
Eversion, yeah. Sorry for those listening. Eversion is when our heel or our ankle, if you're looking at the lower leg or the calf, the heel will be a little bit to the outside in eversion. And then when you're in inversion, if you're looking at the lower leg, it'll be a little more inward, right?
And if you like take off your shoes and have someone take a picture of like just the back of your calves and Achilles, you can sometimes start to see like how from that Achilles, especially, it'll be pretty dominant looking, right? And so you can start to see like, oh, does it curve in at the heel or does it curve out at the heel? So you can start to naturally see like, oh, maybe I do have some stuff happening even at that ankle and the heel and the hind foot.
Right. And so along with working in the midfoot, you may be just by proxy working on that inversion and eversion at the ankle a little bit. And then, you know, maybe we get into standing and then we start doing some more dynamic stuff. You know, that would be the next step, of course. But if we're kind of standing and learning to rotate over that foot through the midfoot and the hind foot, and if that's the intention of the exercise, that can be very powerful. And again, when we get put into situations out in the world, our feet feel more comfortable with that.
Exactly. And don't forget, like, our fascia is which is that connective tissue, right? That goes all along our body. And we have different layers of it, but it really does connect together. And so if I'm looking at the bottom of the foot, I have to play a role up the chain, the back chain of my body. So if you do have tight calves, if you do have tight Achilles, it's going to play a role on the bottom of your foot. And this is why I show ankle exercises and mobility work for the ankle, because it does play a role to the bottom of the foot. So if you know your ankles are restricted, it's probably something that you get to start working on as well, because that can definitely have an effect all the way to the bunion and the toe.
For sure. I would say that one of the biggest things that for everything we've been talking about with the toes and the midfoot and the hind foot, that's helped me functionally explore that is the change to barefoot shoes. Because for me, when I started, I had not used a barefoot shoe hardly ever. And so when I put those things on, when I went for a mile jog, my calves were just barking. My midfoot just felt angry at me. But now after using them for a year, year and a half, I can just tell that that extra space is something my foot appreciates, because now it's learning to kind of control and feel safe and in control during all those movements.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, the Vivo barefoot shoes have been game changer.
Yeah.
We have been using them for so long. I remember even having a client come in and she had like huge thick shoes on because she thought that's what she needed for her knees. And she looked at all our shoes that were where our shoes go. And she was like, oh, you guys really do like these.
Yeah. we don't just lie about it. We're not kidding. We use these things every day because of the principle that it's going to help us apply these things out in the real world. You know, if we put that shoe that has a ton of support on, maybe that's where our foot is at. But once we do those passive mobility things and active mobility things, then learning to load it and use it functionally is the next step.
Yeah.
So if we then bind our foot back up in this thing that gives us all the arch support, you know, my feet are very used to football cleats, baseball cleats, basketball shoes, which were all so tight with arch support in them. You know, that's where the influence on my feet has come from.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Luckily, I was a gymnast, so I walked around barefoot everywhere.
Lucky.
Probably places I shouldn't be barefoot, but I was. But, you know, and all of this to say, we might not change the structure of your bunion.
Yeah.
Your bunion might still look like, you know, your toe is going in and some things are happening. What we aim to fix, and I want you to remember this, is we want to change the function of how your foot is working, how it can be stretched and activated and work in all these different areas, how it responds to the rest of your body up the chain from the leg all the way up the body into your hips and into higher, and how it feels.
Yeah.
Is it still painful? Do you still have pain? Are you not functioning well in your life? We're not aiming to fix the structure of something. We're aiming to fix how it functions.
Yeah. Are the things that you're doing, are you becoming more aware of how they're making that thing in your foot feel? And if that's all you're doing in the early process, then you're winning because you're realizing and taking control and ownership that, hey, some of the things I do can impact the way my foot and my bunion feels.
Exactly. So hopefully you guys took some things away from this, and definitely check out the YouTube. All the YouTubes that we do for the PT Pearls, we try to show a little bit more in terms of exercises and things you can do for your body starting today. Remember, this is also a like preventative talk. So if you don't want pain in the bunion, if you don't want to develop bunions, that my mom has bunions. I just realized that not that long ago. I'm like, you do? So something I'm going to continue to work on myself. And again, not for the structure, just for the function. Make sure that it doesn't hurt and that I don't get pain later on.
Absolutely. And if you had any interest in checking out those Vivos that we chatted about, there's going to be a link in the show notes that you guys should go and click. And if you use code OPTIMAL15, you can get 15% off.
I highly, highly, highly recommend. They are an investment, but it's an investment not only in how they look because they're cute. It's an investment into your health. And you're listening to this podcast to invest into your health. So take the things that we offer because we really, we're not just talking about it to try to make money off of you. We're talking about it because we know it can help you. So please, 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 like, take the opportunity.
Yeah. And thanks for tuning in for another Pearl.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you again for joining us on yet another PT Pearl. We just appreciate you so much. And of course, if you need more visuals for each PT Pearl, they are over at Doc Gen Fit on YouTube. There is a whole section for the PT Pearls from the Optimal Body Podcast that you can use to really see what we're talking about. And don't forget, if you really like this, if you're learning from it, share it out, share it with your community. Tell us what you're learning. Rate and subscribe to the episode because there's going to be so many more goodies and PT Pearls along the way. And if you're ready to dive in even deeper, don't forget, we have an Optimal Body membership with an incredible community of movers learning with us and moving in their body. Until next time, thank you again.